Chris Atkins is the director of management and budget. He is charged with the responsibility of dealing with a $20 to $30 billion budget over 2 years, dealing with the state of Indiana and meeting the priorities of Governor Mike Pence, who last night stated he wants this 10% tax cut. When he said it, nobody applauded. I think Hoosiers were watching on television, and they were applauding because they thought money was coming back. But the legislature, I think they were asleep at that point. But then they woke up a little bit later. The governor also talked about continuing to invest in K-12 education, higher education, pre-K education, other stuff. Chris Atkins is here along with the director of communications for the Pence administration, Christy Denault. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much, Amos.
So now you've got to shepherd the governor's budget plan, and was I correct that it's about, what is it, 20, 30 billion over 2 years?
Over 2 years. It's about $29, $30 billion in general funds over 2 years. Yes, sir.
The governor, he thinks this can work where he can cut the income tax rate from 3.4% to a little over 3% in terms of the personal income tax, but we still have dollars to increase education, to find some way to help fix up and build some of the roads throughout our state, deal with vocational education, deal with the crisis in the Department of Child Services, and have a little extra left over for rainy days.
I'm impressed. You've read your budget that we put together. That is correct. I mean, due to the fiscal discipline of the last 8 years, Amos, you know, if you just flatline spending over the next 2 years based on our, you know, revenues that are going to come in from taxpayers in Indiana, you know, we've got about $1.2 billion structural surplus that we're going to work with the General Assembly to figure out, you know, how we can best use that to create jobs over the next 3 months. And so, you know, you can do a 10% tax cut. Yeah, you can invest in our priorities, and we can leave some money in the account to help us weather a downturn in the future.
And the tax cut the governor is talking about, is this for corporations and individuals, or just for individuals?
It's just for individuals.
It's just ordinary folk.
Just ordinary folks. That's absolutely right. As you know, a couple years ago, we did reduce the tax rate for corporations. The governor believes that now is the time for workers and our small businesses to share in that tax relief. And he believes it'll create jobs by putting $500 million back into our economy.
One of the striking things in the speech, Christy Denault, is usually in a State of the State speech, governors, whether they're Democrat or Republican, talk about how wonderful things are in Indiana. While the governor did touch on that, he also reminded about how many Hoosiers are out of work, the poverty rate that affects Hoosier youth. Do we need to worry about that, since we have right now, while we see overall in the country the unemployment rate is dropping, it's kind of stagnant here right now in Indiana, and some would say, wait a minute, if we can't start to get that joblessness down, then we're not going to have the additional growth tax revenue, and we can't do what the governor wants to do in the tax decreases, and we can't do the investments that he's talking about.
Well, that's why it's important to tackle the issue right up front. The tax cut is critically important to getting this economy moving again, and I think the governor was right to point out that while the state's in good fiscal condition, times are pretty tough for a lot of Hoosiers. We recognize that.
So it's more, is it similar to what President Obama did in terms of, yeah, we're coming, and it's a little different because the feds can print money, the Indiana's budget has to be balanced, but there was a stimulus at the time when there was money put back in Americans' pockets, hopefully to turn around. Is that similar? Maybe a little, I think the governor would make view my analysis a little warped, but it's still putting President Obama put money in people's pockets, and that's what Governor Pence is talking about.
I think there's one key difference here, and that's that this is a permanent tax cut.
Okay.
The tax cuts, most of the tax cuts that were part of the Reinvestment Act in 2009 were temporary by nature.
Right.
So I would just point out one key difference there, Amos.
This ain't a temporary. He wants it down.
Permanent tax relief, yeah, for Hoosiers.
And also keep in mind that cutting the personal income tax rate actually cuts income taxes for 92% of Indiana small businesses. And we know those small businesses are the job creators. So most small businesses do pay their taxes under the personal income tax rate. So that's part of the reason for using that to jumpstart the economy, it will put $500 million a year back into the Indiana economy.
Chris Atkins, Christy DeNaught, I got to ask you what the one question my callers have been asking. This was even before the election. I know members of the legislature, primarily of the Democrats, have been asking this question. The money that got missing, you know, until the audit was done in the Department of
Revenue,
and I believe with the new director that the previous governor put in, and that Governor Pence has continued, Mike Alley, great individual, great community servant, great banker, who I think everybody trusts, and I know him personally, and know he's a good man. We're not going to have those kind of mistakes again. But people are saying, wait a minute, now we found $300 million, but it was, you know, those school corporations and whatever didn't have them. Are those schools ever going to see that money made whole, or were they made whole?
I think it's important to point out a couple of things, Amos. Okay. First, thank you. Know, also a big fan of Commissioner Alley, and look forward to working with him moving forward. Appreciate your thoughts about him. I think it's important to point out that part of the money that was quote unquote found in late 2011, the General Assembly did use part of that money to increase funding for full day kindergarten in the 2012 legislative session. So I think it's very important to point that out. And the other thing I want to point out is, you know, we have in this budget, there was a big audit done, you know, by Deloitte that looked at the Department of Revenue, their processes, their systems. We have put money in this budget to implement a number of those recommendations to ensure that the Department of Revenue is carefully accounting for the public's funds moving forward.
When we talk about in the governor's proposal of increases to first do K through 12 education. Mm-hmm. Don't give me the percentage. What are we talking about in real hard dollars in each of the 2 years? Because I think sometimes people don't realize we're budgeting for 2 years.
Right. We're increasing it by 1%, which is about $63 million in the fiscal year 14, and another $64 million approximately in fiscal year 15. Mm-hmm. Now, we are recommending that increase in fiscal year 15 be based on performance factors. Mm-hmm. So school quality, third grade reading, and graduation rate would be the factors that we would recommend to the General Assembly. And then we believe that would incentivize schools to help provide even better quality options for the kids.
So it would be based on the money going. So what happens in a district where you've got some of the schools are great, other of the schools are middling, other of the schools are
Right.
How would that affect funding? Would it be by building?
Well, the money would ultimately go to the school corporation,
right.
But in some cases it would be based on, you know, if you're a school corporation, you have two elementary schools and they're both rated A under our school grading, then you would get per student grants for those elementary schools that would go to the school corporation, and it would be up to them how they wanted to use those dollars. They could invest those dollars in their lower performing schools, or they could invest them in their higher performing schools.
But the governor doesn't want to do it just on ISTEP, because it sounds like how well are they dealing with in third grade reading, and I
Correct.
Think the superintendent of public instruction, Superintendent Ritz, wants to look at testing where you know how each kid did rather than you passed or you failed. But you also talked about school quality, and that could be a number of things in terms
Absolutely.
Of growth and what have you. So it's not an absolute?
It's not, and there's three ways that a school could get the performance funding. They could qualify for one, two, or all three factors.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos with Chris Atkins, the Director of Management and Budget. Christy DeNault, the Director of Communications. The governor also talked about the vocational education, which got sitting at home, to me, one of the largest amounts of applause during the speech, other than when the veteran was lifted up who lost legs in service to our country in Afghanistan. So it sounds like that's an area that we're going to have a lot of bipartisan support, sounds like.
Absolutely. Governor Pence is fond of saying, there's nothing better than an idea whose time has come, and that's definitely an idea whose time has come. He's already had discussions with Superintendent of Public Instruction Ritz, and they're in agreement that that's an important area to work on. And as you saw last night, there's a lot of support among members of the General Assembly for addressing the need for more career technical and vocational education in our high schools.
The governor also talked about increasing the school vouchers. 9,000 students are in it now. In his proposal, is there a number that he's looking at?
I think we're not looking at a particular number. It's making sure that, you know, as many kids as possible have access to high-quality school options. So, you know, we want to lift the means testing for special needs children. We want to lift the means testing for children who are adopted by parents.
So would the, wait a minute, let me go back on dropping the means testing on special needs. Are those children on an IEP, on an individual education plan, or are those children who are severely, maybe moderately or severely handicapped? And
I'd have to go back and check, Amos, but I believe we tie that to a child being on an IEP, an individualized education plan.
Okay, because because see that opens up because that's a large category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to be clear, we're saying that under the current voucher law, there's means testing for the vouchers. If you're if you're the parent of a special needs child, mm-hmm. we want you to have access to high quality options, no matter how much you make.
And then, I know it would also include children of our veterans.
Absolutely,
would it be of all veterans or those who have been on active duty who are veterans of Iraq, Afghanistan, our most recent veterans?
It would be honorably discharged veterans plus active duty military.
Okay,
correct.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So we go to try to get to as many as possible, short and to the point. Let me go to Jocelyn right quick. Hi there.
Yes, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
I was down here last night for the state of the state address, and I'm down here now for the state of the judiciary at 2 o'clock. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
And, Governor Pence said jobs, putting Hoosiers back to work was number one. Number two was the budget with the tax return. I support his platform, plus in terms of education. He stated that he asked the legislature to put in the budget monies to fund vocational education because he recognized the fact that every student is not an academic, and many of them have vocational skills that need to be developed while in school. And when they graduate from high school, they can immediately fill some of the vacant jobs that we cannot fill because they lack skills for education.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Bill at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos. I have a question relative to the you did not mention, but I read that the governor's proposal includes school performance, additional money for academic achievement in a school corporation, and some form of evaluating teachers based on academic achievement. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. Correct on both counts. I will point out.
I have the question are framed in this context. As a former member of the General Assembly, I'd like to express a concern and wonder how you're going to address it. As it relates to performing, a school performing an increase in academics, I applaud that. However, let's assume that a student misses the spring eye step. They don't pass English language or math. And it used to be way back in Governor Orr's day that we had remediation, summer remediation mandatory. But let's assume that student goes into school and the teacher that gets that student is now responsible for teaching that student going forward and correcting the deficits from the prior year. And does that put that teacher in a fair position? And I asked that question of Dr. Bennett as a former member of Ways and Means during the last budget cycle. I'm no longer a member of the General Assembly. But during the last budget cycle, I asked that question. And the question has not been answered to my satisfaction yet. And then the additional question, as it relates to vocational education, I applaud that. But if we're going to grade school corporations based on ASTEP, how does that are they going to have the academic is vocational track going to play any role in ASTEP? So those are the questions I have and concerns I have. But I just want to have some public acknowledgement of the two questions that I raised.
That's a great question. All right. Even though he's retired, see?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. And to the last question first, I mean, we're not the vocational focus is specifically intended to increase the number of students who have the chance of earning the new CTE diploma when they graduate from high school. Right now, only about 1% of our graduates are. And we would like to boost that effort. So we view the vocational focus really as outside for now, the accountability focus and outside issues of general school funding and the tuition support formula. And we're putting together what we call a regional Indiana Works effort to bring educators and employers together across the state. And we want to do this quickly, but we also want to do it right. And we don't just want to throw money, quote unquote, at this problem. We want to get it right. We want to get the programs and the curriculum together first, and then make investment decisions starting next year and the year after.
How do you balance the governor talking about and raising the level of wanting teachers to have the freedom to teach? I mean, he talked about that during the campaign. He mentioned that in his inaugural address. He repeated that phrase last night in State of the State. So that ought to tell Hoosiers he's serious on that one. How do you balance that off with then tying the performance of a school district, the money that they get from the taxpayers of the state, to how a teacher does? The teacher's going to say, wait a minute, you're putting – that's more weight on me than we put on the Colts.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great question, Amos. And, I mean, our hope is that this will provide an incentive for our schools to provide high-quality options. Mm-hmm. We do give them a year to get used to the new performance system. And also, I just point out, we're talking about 1% of a total funding of $6.3 or $4 billion. And so –
like a little extra bonus money.
It's a little extra bonus money for schools that perform and that graduate their kids and make sure their third graders can read.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Question of letting teachers teach, I think that means different things to different people, but Governor Pence was pretty clear last night. We like to get rid of some of the red tape, some mm-hmm. of the things that are just unnecessary that teachers and school corporations have to deal with.
The Mickey Mouse stuff.
Yeah, get some of that out of their way so they can actually do what they're called to do, which is teach.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. Is when we come back, we'll ask them about money for roads, since people aren't driving as much, so the gas tax is down. You know, assuming that the federal government will do deficit reductions, that means there's not a lot of extra money coming to fix highways and whatever. How does this budget, how does the governor's State of the State do that? And then this extra part of the speech that was in the written part of the speech that he ran out of time, does this mean that the governor will be asking the television stations next year that he needs 45 minutes to talk to Indiana? It's Afternoons with Amos after these. Welcome back. We're with Chris Atkins, Director of Management and Budget, Kristi Denault, Director of Communications for the governor. Where are we going to find money for roads? Because major moves, that money's gone. We spent it all. Mm-hmm. So where do we get the money from? Is there any money left?
We believe we found a creative way to provide some money for roads in this budget. As you probably know, because you lived through this debate, you know, we cap our reserves right now, mm-hmm. and half of the excess reserves goes back to taxpayers on the automatic refund, and half gets transferred to our pension funds to help shore those up. We believe we can make all of our pension payments right now and in the future, and transfer that excess that's supposed to go to pensions into a transportation fund instead. And based on our estimates, we'd provide about $347 million in additional road funding for our economy over the next 2 years if we do that.
Where does Medicaid fit in and the Affordable Care Act? Because once we get to the Affordable Care Act, everyone is covered. And so what is the state's liability in there? Like, that's a big expense we're dealing with.
We do fully fund our Medicaid forecast in this budget. We have an independent actuary that estimates here's what, you know, the entitlement needs are going to be in this program over the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. We fully funded that. That includes 92,000 people who we believe are currently eligible for Medicaid, but because of the Affordable Care Act and the energy surrounding that in the next 2 years, they will now come onto our Medicaid rolls, even though they're previously eligible.
So you're budgeting for extra people that aren't covered right now, but could be covered once we go into the act in 2014.
Well, no, they are covered now, but we believe they will come to us and want to be covered and claim those benefits in the next 2 years.
Okay.
We fully cover them in this budget.
Because there's some people in the legislature that think the liability is going to even be greater.
Well, the issue of the Medicaid expansion is out there, which, mm-hmm. as you know, we have the option of doing. The governor mm-hmm. has said he's open to it as long as it's affordable, and we can cover folks under the Medicaid expansion with a consumer-driven vehicle like the Healthy Indiana Plan.
There were a lot of things Kristi Denault, the governor, did not talk about. The marriage amendment, which I think there's a developing idea in the legislature. Let's wait for the Supreme Court to say something. We have plenty of time to deal with that debate. He did not talk about mass transit. Was that deliberate?
Well, you talked to us all summer long, and we said all summer long, jobs and education, mm-hmm. while he was on the campaign trail. All along said the roadmap for Indiana was going to be the governing agenda. And I had a lot of folks say, boy, there weren't any surprises last night. Well, that means we did our job just right. We told folks what we were going to do. We're going to worry about jobs and education, and that's exactly what he laid out last night.
The governor had to be off by 7:30 so that Jeopardy could come on and Entertainment Tonight.
Uh-huh.
So he did not talk about school safety, and he was going to say something about, okay, Washington, kind of do your own thing. We're Indiana. We're going to do ours. How important is school safety, and where do we get the money from to deal with that?
Well, we've put, you know, because of our fiscal health, we've put additional funds in this two-year budget to study school security and school safety issues.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring, you know, all the key stakeholders together, put a plan together, and make sure that our kids are safe in our schools.
Is that just to deal with shooters, or is that to deal with things like a disaster like a Henryville, or some trains collide and there's chemicals and there's a school close by to cover, I guess, homeland security for a school, I guess would be the best way to say it.
I think the charge from the governor is to be as broad as we need to be to make sure our kids are safe. So I don't believe that money will be limited to just tragedies like what happened in Connecticut. I do believe it will be the broader portfolio that you discussed.
And is it going to be his idea flexible enough that if an urban school district needs to do things differently than a rural school district, it fits the area?
That's always our bias. I think specifics are to be determined, but certainly we carry a local control bias into this and most discussions.
Christy Denault, it used to be the tradition during the legislative session that governors would kind of stay close to the office, not be very visible. This governor has literally been out everywhere, you know, since he took the office Monday before last. I even went to Washington. I saw his picture, you know, sitting there two seats down from the governor of Connecticut, right behind the governor of Massachusetts. Looked like a good location. Is he going to be, you know, more out and about than I think we would have seen governors in past?
Well, certainly his plan is to be out around the state a lot. He said he is a governor for all people, and he wants to make sure that he's out talking to people, knowing what's going on, and celebrating our accomplishments wherever we can. So he will be traveling quite a bit.
All right. And now you're sitting in the official governor's seat.
Oh, well, my privilege today, then.
This is the official. So tell him, you know, we have the seat. There's a seat for him.
I'll tell him I'm keeping it warm for him.
You're keeping him warm for him. Christy Denault, the communications director of Governor Mike Pence. Chris Atkins, the man responsible for a $29 billion budget over 2 years. And the discussions with the legislature. And the other thing is, the governor really is talking to every member of the legislature, because I talked to a Democratic senator yesterday who said, the governor called me. We had a great meeting in the office.
Yes, sir. He's working his way through every last one of them.
Everybody.
Yes, sir.
Listen, everybody. That's – Evan Bayh didn't do that. Mitch Daniels didn't do that. Mike Pence is doing that. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. When we come back, we'll tell you about National School Choice Week.